the 13th chapter talks about the relationship of the individual with the Supreme. And when we start out on our spiritual journey, we always think of God as being the Almighty, the Dvaita philosophy. God is me, I am here, this poor individual suffering human, and then God is this almighty, powerful, loving creator of the universe who created this world and created me, and I need to know him, I need to reach him, and so that is good. At least you are thinking about him. And that is the Dvaita. Then slowly we progress to Vishishta Dvaita, where this individual thinks that, like in the Gita also, the Krishna in the earlier chapters talks about God as Saha, that beyond the intellect is the, you know, beyond the senses is the mind, beyond the mind is the intellect, and beyond the intellect is Saha, He. So because Arjuna is still at a beginning level, so in the third and fourth chapter, he refers to this Almighty as He, as that. Even in the Upanishads, you know, they say that consciousness you are. So that depending on the maturity of the student, the teacher teaches. And slowly as Arjuna's thinking matures, as we see in the Bhagavad Gita, his questions are getting more astute, his understanding is becoming more sharp, then Krishna refers to the Lord as me, I. Krishna says, aham kratur, aham yajna, swadaham, aham aushadham. In the yajna shala, I am the fire, I am the Havan Kunda, I am the offerings in the Yajna, I am the one who is offering, I am the Lord to whom it is being offered. In the 13th chapter, he then says that you and I are one. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. O Arjuna, I am the knower in you. The Lord says the knower in me, and that is you and I are one. There is only one knower of this whole universe. So that is kind of the progress of the student and the progress of the teacher. So the 13th chapter starts with that. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. Kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam yatat jnanam matam mama. I believe that the most important thing you need to know is the field and who is the knower of the field, and I am the knower in all the fields. So the consciousness is the knower in all the fields. Here we see that this individual, the body, mind and intellect, becomes a perceiver, feeler and thinker, and they perceive the objects, emotions and thoughts. The body perceives the objects, the mind perceives the emotions, and the intellect perceives the thoughts. So this is me, the limited individual. This is the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. And this is my relationship or the ego. And vasanas are my tendency. So the Om, the consciousness, is the Lord, and that is one. And that is everywhere the same. In all plants, all animals, all birds, all fish, all humans, everywhere. There is one Lord, one consciousness whom we can call by different names. Call him Allah or Jesus or Father in heaven or Krishna, whatever name you want to give, or call it as the Brahman, the totality. So to summarize, in the 13th chapter, the Krishna starts with describing what is the field. The field, as we said, this everything is the field, whatever is known. He says, Mahabhutanya ahankaraha buddhiravyaktamevacha indriyani dashaikancha panchachendriya gocharaha. So he says this whole world, Mahabhutas, the five elements, the ego, the mind, the intellect, the vasanas, everything is the field. And also its modifications, iccha, dvesha, sukham, dukham, so joy and sorrow, likes and dislikes, all that is the field. Whatever I know is the field. And then he says, how am I to know you? How am I to know you as the spirit? So Krishna then gives us the 20 values. Ahimsa, Kshanti, Rajavam, Acharyopasanam, Shaucham. So all the all the, you know, qualities, non-violence, love, compassion, service of the teacher, seeing me in all, constantly serving me, being equanimous. So a person who practices those 20 values, ahimsa and all that, and what happens? Slowly his selfish vasanas reduce and he comes closer to the truth. Then in subsequent verses, Krishna explained to us the qualities of this Brahman, this Lord. Who is he? How am I to know him? So he says, Jyotisham ap Jyotihi Tamasav Paramuchyate. He says, Sarvendriya Gunabhasam Sarvendriya Vivarjitam. He says, all hands and legs are his. He supports everything, but he himself has no hands or legs. All hands and legs work because of him. All senses work because of the Lord's presence. I am seeing and you are listening because the Lord is in us. But the Lord himself has no senses. He has no eyes. He has no ears. He's beyond all that. And he says he supports all this whole universe, but yet is unattached. He is supporting everything, but not involved. So seeming contrast, he actually is indivisible, but appears to be divided in every one of us. His, her consciousness, her, actually they're all one, but it appears. So by seeming contradictions, the Lord is making us think what is the nature of that reality. And then he says that what is the relationship between Prakriti and Purush? I think before Christmas, Ashok ji covered that, where he says Prakriti is the world of matter, the creator, you know, the creative power of the Lord, and she creates this whole universe. Everything is created, and the consciousness is the experiencer. So the consciousness identified with the world of matter becomes the experiencer. And then Krishna says, what is the benefit of knowing this knowledge? Why are we sitting all here? Why are we reading the Bhagavad Gita? So he says that one who knows this very well, madbhavaya upapadyate, he reaches me. He becomes one with me. So this is what we have studied so far. I thought I would take about 10 minutes to summarize what we have studied in the 13th chapter, because we had this gap for Christmas. So today we'll do verse number 23. Chapter 13, verse number 33. 23, sorry. Verse number 23, chapter 13. Uptrashtanumantacha. Uptrashtanumantacha. Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaraha. Paramatmeti Chap Yuktaha. Dehesmin Purushaf Paraha.
So, what he's telling us, that the Lord being one, and we say the Lord is there in all. He's there in the worst criminal, in the murderer, in the mass murderer, and he's there in the saint. You say, well, then what is he doing? I mean, why are people so different? And what is God's function? I mean, if he's the same in criminal, and if he's the same in, then he seems to be very impotent. You know, I mean, he cannot even do anything. What is the purpose? What is he doing? Why is he there in the saint? And why is he not there in the criminal? Why is he not stopping the criminal? So he says that I being the same, my expression depends on the qualities of the individual. Like electricity is the same. You know, electricity is the same. Is there's one electricity in the whole universe, in the whole world. It is all the same. You know, electrons moving through that. But different bulbs, the electricity present in the different bulbs appears different. You know, in the green bulb, it appears green. In the blue bulb, it appears blue. If the bulb is tiny, it appears very tiny, like in the Christmas tree. Or you have this huge bulb in the stadium, you know, which illumines, you know, thousands of watts. or if the bulb is very dirty, muddy, you know, filled with dirt, then that same light does not appear to come through, and then you polish the bulb and bother. So electricity being same, depending on the quality of the bulb and depending on the quality of the equipment, it manifests differently. In fact, in the commentary, Gurudev says there are two types of Purushas. You say, what? First, you just told us there is only one consciousness, and now you are saying there are two types? You know, that actually that paragraph was quite confusing for me too. I thought she would read and ask that question because she always reads ahead of time, Barbara. So I had to prepare. But what he means by two types of Purushas is like the sun. There is only one sun, right? There is not two suns. But say the sun is shining in the sky and we have 100 buckets. And in each one, the bucket, the sun is reflected. And from the bucket, say if there is one bucket outside this room, the sun is shining and the water is there, bucket. So the water is reflected into the room. So in each bucket, apparently you see the sun. So that one sun reflected in 100 buckets or maybe 200 buckets or one bucket is that one sun appears to be another sun in the bucket. So apparently there are two suns, one in the sky, one in the bucket. And the both are giving light. You know, the one is giving the original source and then the bucket, the sun in the bucket gives a reflected light. And then depending on the quality of the water in the bucket, the light can be dim or can be dirty or shiny. We have talked about that. If the water is very dirty, then that reflection is dirty. If the water is clean, the reflection is clean. If the water is agitated, then the reflection is agitated. So depending on the quality of our mind and depending on the vasanas, if the vasanas are full of tamas, full of dirt and ignorance and laziness, and then that person is tamasic. That same consciousness appears tamasic. And another person is very active, like the water which is agitated, very active and running, and mind is disturbed and stressed out. And I have to conquer this and I have to, you know, take over this company and this money. Then that consciousness appears disturbed. And then a third person who is very saintly and very peaceful. And when you are in that person's presence, you feel, it's the Lord himself sitting in front of me. Then there, that same consciousness is very peaceful. So here, Krishna gives us six categories. How the Lord functions in six types of individual. And depending on the amount of ego, how much ego you have surrendered, we'll talk a little bit about that. So depending on that, that is what the Lord himself plays six different roles. So it's not two Purushas, there are six Purushas here, in fact, according to this verse, which according to Gurudev is one of the most significant verses. So we'll just translate it. Updrashta. Updrashta means spectator, witness. Anumanta means permitter, one who permits. Bharta. Bharta means supporter, fulfiller. Bhokta. Bhokta means enjoyer. And Maheshwar is the Lord of Lords. And then the last one is Paramatma, the Supreme Self. Iti Uktaha. That's what the Lord is called. Dehe Asmin. In this body, Dehe Asmin, Purusha Para. The Supreme Purusha is called by six different names depending on the individual. The Lord being the same, the Lord's role changes in these six different types of individuals. So the first one is this person who has 100% ego, has not surrendered anything to the Lord. He's totally egoistic person. He said, what God? Ah, God. I don't see God. There is no God. It's just a creation of these, you know, these sadhus and mahatmas just to cheat us. They created this God so that we just give them money, and they made all these buildings called churches and temples. I don't believe in all that. I believe in Maya, Purushartha. I'm going to work. I'm going to make money. and this world is for me to enjoy. I'm going to make money. I'm going to enjoy the world. I don't care how many people I trample over, how many people suffer, who gets hurt. I don't care. Looking out for number one. I am going to look out for myself. I'm going to become rich and I'm going to enjoy. Khao piyo maja karo. Forget about God. So that is the person who has zero interest in knowing about God. He doesn't care. And then such a person also, they do very criminal activities like Hitler or Saddam or some of these dictators and these murderers, where they think like Ravana, you know, I am the most powerful, you know, I don't care Vishnu or Ram or whoever comes. I am the king of the whole universe. So such type of people, Kamsa and all these, you know, these Rakshasas and all live in that total ego, even though they have great knowledge. But their knowledge is only directed towards self-service. So in such a person, the Lord says, okay, I am the spectator, upadrishta. I just watch. Okay, I have given you life. The one thing that mistake that God made was that he gave us freedom. He said, you are free to choose. And so if you choose to, you know, damn yourself, that's fine. You do all these evil deeds, the law of karma will not spare you. See, nobody is spared. 100% whatever you have done, good or bad, the consequences come. So you keep on doing it. I have given you freedom. I have given you this body, mind and intellect, and you choose to do that. Okay, go ahead. And then you will suffer the consequences. So there he just watches. He has said, okay, I'm watching. It's like when you go to watch a parade. You know, the example they gave, you're standing on the balcony and watching a parade go by. Now, you don't have a child or son or daughter in the parade. It's just going by. So you're just watching it. Okay. All the things are coming. So the Lord says, I am the upadrashta. I am the spectator. Then he says the next is somebody who has given up 20% of his ego to me. 80% he still feels, but 20% he says, Lord, I remember you. I love you. Even part of the time. Thoda bahut, at least he remembers God. He surrenders his ego to him, does some activities dedicated to the Lord. So slowly he is evolving. So then he becomes the permitter. Permitter means he seems to allow this to happen. He's sort of a participant. He says, okay, you know, that's good. At least this person thinks about me at least part of the time. At least little bit he has turned his mind's attention towards him. So the Lord is happy. Chalo, at least he's on the right track. You know, it's like your child, you know, gets in some wrong company and all that. And then slowly you find signs, you know, he's getting better. He's studying a little bit. He's doing some good deeds. So at least, chalo, at least my son is on the right track. Hopefully he will improve. So the Lord says, okay, I permit you. I participate. Then next step is Bharta. Now he has become 40%. Half almost of his time is spent in service. He's doing a lot of service for the Lord. He's dedicating his activities for the Lord. And the Lord is now very pleased. You know, he said, it's not that the Lord is pleased or whatever, but it is that the more you expose yourself to this divinity, the more yourself you become divine. It's not that he's not like a politician that if you praise him, you know, he will bless you. It's not like that. It's like the sun, you know, the if your room is covered completely in darkness, the windows are covered, the sun will not come in. But as you slowly open the windows, the sun will illumine your room. So the Lord is there, but as you open your mind towards me, the Lord says, I who was always there will shine through. So here, as this person, half of his time is now spent in remembering the Lord. So the Lord becomes a supporter. He becomes a fulfiller. He says, I will now help you. Because the more, it's like, you know, the power is there. If you plug in, then you can utilize the power. If you don't plug in and say, I don't believe in electricity, the electricity says, okay, then you don't need me. But the more you plug in, the more, you know, you plug in one, you get, you know, part of it. You plug in two, you plug in three, the more of the plugs you put in, that much more electricity you get. So it's not that electricity favors the one who plugs in and doesn't love the one. He says, I am available. It's just you have to connect to me. So the one who is connected, now the Lord says, I become the supporter. I become the fulfiller. You may do little bit of work, but I multiply that manifold because he has immense power. And Gurudev in his commentary gives the example of Jesus. Not that Jesus was 40%. I'm sure he was much higher. But he says the moment he started saying, Thy will be done, O Lord, not mine, not mine. Then what happens? The Lord now becomes his agent. Lord says, I do your work now. You don't need to do anything. And what did Jesus do? He traveled about 150 or 200 miles. Maybe for a year and a half he preached. And then he was condemned to the cross. He didn't have TV and internet, to broadcast this Jesus' message to the whole world. And he didn't have a great research university, multi-level, where all these professors were doing research on Jesus' teaching. No, he had 9 disciples, that's all. Or 10 or 11 or whatever that number was. Huh? 12. That's all he had. He didn't have a great big university of professors, churning out research papers. But the Lord says, I am your fulfiller. I am your supporter. And now look at it. All over the world, how many million Christians, billion are listening? Buddha, he just traveled, a few miles. He had a few disciples. And now billions of people. Swami Chinmayananda, he traveled a lot throughout the world. But after he left in his body in 1993, people used to say, Chinmaya mission is going to die. Because Chinmaya mission is only Chinmayananda. And people only respect him. Without him, look at it. The mission has tripled and quadrupled since Gurudev left his body. And now to this year itself, 6 new centers are opening in the U.S. alone. So the point is that when these great Mahatmas, when they put their effort, then the Lord says, I now take over. I am your agent. You just to start your work and now it is my job to do your work. So that's how merciful and kind he is. She says, you remember me, then I take care of you. That is the beauty of knowing him and just remembering the Lord. So he says, I become your supporter. I become your fulfiller. I then do your work. I become your agent. Then you become further, where 60% of the ego is now surrendered to the Lord. This is just, figure just to make us understand. Swami Chinmayananda actually in his tape does that. He says, now what happens is, he starts enjoying through you. Means you become a total instrument for the Lord. You and the Lord are becoming one. And the Lord seems to function. So when you see this person, the Lord is not no longer his agent, but the Lord is him. You see that the Lord is the enjoyer. So what it means is that whatever this person does, the Lord is doing. Whatever this person enjoys, the Lord is enjoying. So when you are in the presence, even a blind person, when he sees this person coming by, he says, no, he's not an ordinary person. It is a Mahatma. It is a great saint like Mahatma Gandhi. He didn't change his clothes. He didn't put on orange clothes, but people gave him the title of Mahatma. Why? Because he had subjected his ego to the higher. So the Lord then becomes the enjoyer of all activities. Then comes 80%. Now 80% is, then that person is God himself. That's why he's called Maheshwara, the Lord of Lords. Then that person becomes immeasurably powerful. He can actually change the weather. He can, Moses, he could part the sea. He could part the sea and people. Why? Because he becomes the Lord. Then it is like God himself. Then there is absolutely, he has superpowers. He can do whatever he wants. He can accomplish whatever he wants. He can, see, hear, whatever. So then there is absolutely no difference. That's why he's called the Maheshwar, Ishwara. Means the Lord. Mahaishwar means the Lord of Lords. And how about if I have 100%? where there is no ego at all, no ego, then of course, then there is, like when I was dreaming and asleep, now I wake up 100%, then how much of the dreamer is in me? None, right? From dreamer, I become the waker. From sleeper, I become the waker. So, as this person totally gets rid of his ego, then there is absolutely, then it is that one divinity alone. The Lord alone is there, and then that, even that little trace of individuality is gone. And then that is called the ultimate realization, that is called the becoming one, that is the Advaita. So these are all steps given to us to tell us that how do I know I am progressing? You know, people say, how do I know I am progressing spiritually? How do I know? It depends on how much ego you have surrendered to the Lord. People say, I want to enjoy the world 100%. I want 100% of material ego, and I also want a little bit of spiritual ego. It cannot be. You cannot be 100% material and at the same time be spiritual. You cannot welcome the new year, you know, completely drunk, you know, wishing everybody happy new year in middle of, you know, what a sad way to start a new year. And people do that. They are so drunk. They don't know what they are doing. And this, bahut maja aaya. We had a great time. You can't. You cannot be in two boats at the same time. You have to choose. And the growth or the evolution is gradual. It's not sudden. It's not overnight. You know, one day I was materialistic. And then second day, suddenly I became, you know, God. It's not going to happen. You know, people used to go to Swami Chinmayananda and they say, Swamiji, put your hand on my head and bless me so I may become spiritual. So Swamiji makes it very funny. He says, here it's okay, but in India, I don't like to put my hand on people's head because it's too oily. My hand will become oily. You know, in India, people put too much oil on their head. She said, that's why I don't put my hand on anybody's head because I might get... So he says, there is no touch method. You know, it's not a blessing method that, oh, the guru bless me so I may suddenly. It does not happen like that. It's not. He says, or people say, you know, my guru, he will carry me. He will take me to the Swamiji. He says, I'm not a mule. I'm not a donkey. I'm not going to carry you on my back. I'm not a mule guru. You have to evolve yourself, you know. It says, lift yourself by yourself. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Udaret Atmana, in the sixth chapter, it says, Udaret Atmanatmanam, Atmanam of Sadayet. You have to lift yourself by yourself and do not fall down. You are already human. From human, go towards the divinity. Do not fall down to the level of animals or to the level of the lower creatures. You have to evolve. So, they say that just as the dawn is breaking, now what happens? First, you see little bit of light, you know, few little light, and then you see the clouds colored red, and then slowly, slowly the red becomes more, and the whole sky becomes red, all the clouds, and then slowly the sun appears, and then in all its glory, the, you know, sun is shining. Right, you know, bright. So it's a gradual process. A bud, you cannot force the bud, you know, to open. Bud slowly opens and then one day it slowly, slowly and then it becomes a beautiful flower. So similarly, the human evolution happens slowly. Like how long did it take us from amoeba to become human? It's not suddenly one day I was an amoeba swimming in the water. And next day I become a human. I slowly evolve through amoeba to the fish and then to the animal and then to the monkey and then to the human. So it says that it's a gradual, slow process. And And as I put more and more effort in this direction, as I surrender my ego, the more and more I come in contact with that total consciousness, then that Lord becomes your permitter. He becomes your supporter. He then helps you. So the consciousness is available to help us. All we have to do is turn our mind towards the Lord, bring Him, take Him to your work, where whatever activity you are doing, do that, devote it to the Lord. Remember the Lord constantly. Take Him to work. Take Him at your home. Remember Him morning, evening, and night. And the more you do, the more. And slowly, slowly surrender your ego. Don't have the sense of, I did it. I am the doer. Anytime anything goes well, any praise, just immediately dedicate it to the Lord and to your teacher. Oh, because of my teacher, I did it. Because of the Lord, I did it. And constantly, as you surrender your ego, you will find that not only your work will become more efficient, your mind will become more peaceful. The more you remember the Lord, the more you turn your attention towards Him, the more you work as His agent, as His servant, the more your mind becomes peaceful and your work becomes more efficient, because He becomes your supporter, He becomes your fulfiller, He becomes your agent. He then works for you. He says, you don't work for me, I work for you. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. He says that I then take care of my devotee. I make sure his work is done. And we have so many examples where these devotees were in extreme distress and the Lord Himself came and helped them. So many examples. If any of the scriptures you read, how these saints were in so much trouble and the Lord Himself came. Look at Mirabai, look at Tukaram, look at Narsi Mehta, look at all of these Gyaneshwar, how the Lord came and helped them at all different times. Tapovan Maharaj, one time he had no food and he was wandering in the Himalayas with no shoes. He was lost in a snowstorm. And two robbers came there. They said, oh, we want to rob you. And they searched him. He had nothing. He was a sannyasi. They said, you have no food, you have no money. He said, no. They said, okay. So they gave him hot potatoes, boiling hot potatoes in the middle of the Himalayas. From where did they produce it? And not only that, but they took him to that ashram where he was supposed to go. He said, this is where you have to go, right? So the Lord is so merciful. All we have to do is remember Him. So this is a very, very beautiful verse, which actually gives us a very clear path on how we can subjugate our ego. And turn the mind towards Him. It's a very, very beautiful verse. Everybody should remember that and apply that in your life. Any comments? Any questions? Yeah, actually, in Hinduism, we worship. We say that there are saints. You know, like Tukaram is a saint. Gyaneshwar is a saint. Swami Chinmayananda was a saint or a prophet, you know. But we worship Krishna as actually an incarnation of the Lord. And the Lord appeared on earth as a human to fulfill certain tasks. Like Ram. Ram also we worship as an incarnation of God. So we say they were God Himself who appeared on earth. And He had divine powers, like Krishna lifted when He was little boy of 5 or 6 years old, he lifted a mountain with his little finger, and there was a lot of rain, and the people were drowning. People were actually going to die because there was flooding. What he did was he lifted a mountain with his little finger, and all the people of the village of Gokul came and stayed under that mountain till the rain subsided. And then in later on, even when he was a little boy, when he opened his mouth, his mother saw the whole universe. And then here in the 11th chapter, he showed Arjuna that I am that supreme consciousness. So Arjuna saw the whole universe in that form of the Lord, the past, present and future. He even saw heaven. He even saw hell. He saw everything in that. So we say that Krishna was actually that Purushottam, that supreme consciousness, who had sola kala. He had 16 powers of the divine which were manifesting through Him. So that's why all the saints worship Krishna. You know, all the saints like Tukaram, Birabai and all those saints were either Ram or like Tulsidas, he worshipped you know, Ram or Krishna. So they are worshipped as the incarnation of the Lord himself. They are, I would say, even though they were human walking on earth, but they had more supernatural powers. So he did not preach. Krishna did not preach. He just spread joy wherever he went. And whenever there was a need, like where Arjuna asked him, that's when he preached the message of the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, and he actually was a king. He actually was a king and had a kingdom and had all that. And then later on, he gave that up, you know, because there were too many conflicts. His own family members started fighting. So he said, you guys take the kingdom, I'm not. And then he just started wandering. And that's when he goes into Mahabharata and helps Arjuna and all that. So, but again, Christians worship Jesus as the Son of God. So it's okay. You know, these are all just terminologies. It depends on your faith. For a non-Christian, you know, Krishna would not be considered as anything. They would consider him as a heathen god or something. So it depends on your faith. You know, for Muslims, you know, Muhammad is the supreme. You know, there is nothing higher than Muhammad. So it doesn't really matter what their qualifications are. It's how much faith you have and what. So faith can move mountains. Yes, sure, sure. Yeah, actually, in the books, they have been written, and then it has been passed on. It has been passed on, you know, like in the like this Ved Vyas. Actually, the Vedas and all before were just composed by the rishis, Upanishads and all. And then he organized them into, and so they have written down the life of Krishna, the life of Ram, and then it has been written by poets, by authors, and has been passed on over thousands of years. Yes, and they have actually been able to trace some of these sites where they lived, and you know, yeah. So there is some historical support also for that. Yeah, but it is mostly through books, through the teachings of which have been passed on from over. Now exactly, you know, whether it's 4,000 or 5,000, we don't know exact, but they say it was a few thousand years before Christ.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pasyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Harihi Om Shri Guru Pyo Namah, Harihi Om.
Thank you.